Okay, good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you on a nice sunny day. Could I ask the kids to come on up to the front, I think? Now, I'm going to sort of be wandering back and forth. Well, before we start, or sort of as a part of our start, I'd like to do a little test here. I'd like to see how we are with recognizing certain signs. Okay, road signs, traffic signs. Now, these signs don't have everything in them, but they should give the rough idea. And I'm going to ask the kids first. I think they're all fairly easy, but if they're not, the adults can always help out. Okay, first one, easy one. What is that? Okay, right. A little bit harder, maybe.
Yield.
Not so hard. Great. Okay.
School crossing.
Well done. School. I don't know. Oh, can it be seen? It might be a little bit vague, but it is a school crossing.
Railroad crossing.
Yeah, it is a railroad crossing where it crosses the road. Okay. What about this one? Yeah, that's maybe. Yeah, watch out for deer. This one? For the next 10 kilometers. Yeah, you don't see many of these. Now, signs do a lot of things for us. Sometimes they warn us. This one, the only reason I put this one in is because I thought it was so odd. I don't know if anybody can read it in the audience.
Caution,
this sign has sharp edges. Do not touch the edges of this sign. And then in very small print, also, the bridge is out ahead. Somebody had a sense of humor, but not much wisdom, maybe. Laughing all the way over the bridge. Okay, anyways, other signs. What does this one do? That's right. That's right, it tells you where it is, where you're looking for. It points to you the way that you need to go. Some signs tell you...
Road work ahead.
That's right, they tell us what's going on around us, things we need to know that are happening. And there's other things that give us information we need, seeing as we're following the Australian theme. That's right. And that sometimes it's nice to have a reminder. When we came back to Canada from England, I did fairly well. You can adapt both ways until I came to roundabouts. And that was where everything messed me up because I'm not used to them in Canada. And sometimes I would start to go the wrong way around a roundabout. And it would have been nice to have a little sign saying, go right. Anyways, now the reason we were sort of looking at signs and we looked at some of them tell us what's going on around us. Some of them tell us where we need to go. Yep.
Gusts, and then it said this sign
is
it kidding, our car almost got blown off the road. It was in Calgary. So
wind gusts, that's another thing it's nice to know. But interestingly enough, a lot of the things that we call miracles in the New Testament, they are called signs. And the reason they're called signs is because when Jesus performs these miracles, it's not just something to wow people. It's not even something just to help people, although they are to help. They're actually things that are pointing us to something that's going on in the world, something that started to happen in the world that had never happened before until Jesus came along. Now, over the last 2 weeks, I guess, we've been looking at the last part of Mark chapter 4 and through chapter 5 today. And in that passage, there are a series of three signs, okay? And they're sort of all grouped together because for a while Jesus has been teaching in parables, and then he sort of comes aside with his disciples, and it's kind of important we understand what he's doing here. He's pretty much alone with his disciples every time because he's wanting them to know something. And of course, signs help us understand something about Jesus. The first sign happens in chapter 4, Now, can anybody tell me what's going on there?
Go for it, Graham. That's right, Jesus calming the storm.
He and his disciples had been so tired that they were crossing the lake to get to the other side, and he had fallen asleep in the middle of what became a storm. And you'll remember his disciples were terribly afraid. Fishermen though they were, this was a bad storm. They woke him up, asking, "Don't you care about us? Don't you care that we're going to die?" And Jesus stands up, and just with a word, he says, "Peace, be still." Everything stops. The wind, the storm, everything stops.
That's the first sign. Okay, this is actually on. Sorry, I missed the beginning, and now here we are echoing.
That's the first sign, and the first sign told the disciples something about Jesus. Jesus is the one who has power over creation. He has authority and power over creation. You remember, the disciples were terrified afterwards. It says they were afraid. And they said, "What kind of man is this who can control the wind and the waves? Because people are not supposed to be able to do that." But the question that Jesus had asked them, or he had challenged them, was he had said to them, "You know, you have little faith."
And there was a challenge to faith, to trust in him.
The second sign is this one. Now, this is one that doesn't appear in children's Bibles very often. Can anybody tell me what's going on here? Yeah, there is sort of a healing happening. That's right. Right? It's not actually the blind man. I'm going to give you a hint. Notice he's wearing chains on his wrists and bandages because he's been quite wounded. Yeah. That's right. It's a demon-possessed man. Because as they were crossing the lake, they came to the other side, and there they met a man who ran up to them and cried out, "Jesus, have you come to destroy us?" Or something to that effect, anyways. And Jesus realized that this man was under the captivity of evil spirits, of demons. And he asked them its name, and they replied, "We are called Legion, for we're many." Jesus set the man free. And there's more to the story than that. But what happens is in the second sign, thousands of demons are cast out. This man is free. The demons actually go into a herd of pigs, which run into the sea and drown themselves. And the man, from this great salvation he's had, he says, "I want to follow you." And Jesus says, "Don't come with me. Go back and tell everybody about what the Lord has done for you." And there we see that faith, Jesus is the one who has power over every power, every other power, even the enemy. Over every power. Now, the third sign is today. And very quickly, Jesus has now come back across the Sea of Galilee on the boat, maybe somewhere around Capernaum. And as he gets out, the crowds are waiting, and the crowds are always waiting for Jesus, right? And there's a crush around them, people jostling people. People probably wanting healing, maybe wanting to be released from demons, who knows. But everybody's wanting to see Jesus. Now, one man is there, and he pushes his way through the crowd. And for those who want to look, it is in the actual text, which I'm not going to read, is in the bulletin. But jostling through the crowd comes a man named Jairus. And Jairus he's a leader in his area. He's the ruler, or the leader of the synagogue. So he's in charge of the prayers, the Bible readings, the teaching of Torah, the law, all of these things. Now, Jairus, though, is a desperate man. He's heard about Jesus because everybody has in the area now. And probably he hadn't really thought much about Jesus before, except wondering, what kind of a man is this? Is he from God? But something happened, and Jairus realized that he needed to see Jesus right away. Now, some of you, I know, will know how this story ends. Don't give it away. For those who don't, and most of you in the audience might, but Jairus' daughter was very, very, very sick. As a matter of fact, it says she was on the point of death. Jairus comes to Jesus, and he pleads with him. He says, "My daughter, she's barely alive, and she could die at any moment. Please come with me and help her. I know you can do something." And Jesus goes with him. But on the way, crowds are still around, jostling. All the way, oddly enough, Jesus suddenly stops. And he asks a question that confuses everybody, including his disciples. He says, "Who just touched me?" And his disciples look at him. So they say, look, this crowd is all around you. People are pushing, they're nudging, they're squeezing against you, and you're saying, who touched you? And he says, I felt the power go out of me just now. Now, as he said that, a woman came out of the crowd who had been very, very sick for 12 years. And she told him, I knew that if I even just touched the edge of your garment, the cloak you're wearing, that even if I could just do that, I might be healed. And Jesus looked at her and he said, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. So the lady goes on her way. Now, it's an amazing story. Now, Jairus, I imagine, he could have been, one thing that could have happened is he might have thought, this is fantastic. You know, here's this man healing, and surely he can heal my daughter. And but I suspect that isn't what was going on in Jairus' mind at all. His daughter is just on the edge of death. And Jesus is stopping, asking questions, talking to somebody. And he must have thought, time's running out. I mean, doesn't he realize what's going on? And just then, as everything's sort of weighing down on him, he sees somebody from his home coming towards him, and their face is not a happy face. And they come up to Jairus, and they say, look, I'm sorry. Your daughter died. It's too late. Don't bother the teacher now. Leave Jesus alone. It's done. And that must have been destroying. My grandmother, my uncle and my aunt died before my grandmother did. And I've talked to her about it, and she, as other people have said as well, it's the worst thing is having a child die before you. And Jairus must have been crushed, but Jesus looked at him. And this is a strange thing. And we get used to the story, but we need to recognize the strangeness of it. Jesus looked at him and he said, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Believe, just believe. And he grabs Jairus, and he grabs three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. Everybody else is told to stay back. They go to the house, they go through the mourners, and Jesus throws them all out of the house. And mourners are people who, they're crying. Some of them were probably hired to. It's just something they did. But everybody's thrown out of the house, except for Peter, James, John, and the mom and the dad, Jairus and his wife. Jesus takes them up, goes into the room where the little girl's body is lying. Now, the interesting thing that I haven't mentioned is when he threw the mourners out, he said, why are you crying? Don't you know, she's not really dead, she's just asleep. And they all laughed at him. Not a friendly laugh. They laughed at him because they knew she was dead. So Jesus goes up. Jesus goes up to the room. He goes to the bedside. He reaches down. He touches the little girl. We don't know her name. And he says to her, and it gives the Aramaic, Talitha kumi, which is, little girl, I say to you, arise. Sort of what you might say to somebody who's having a nap. You have naps? I do.
I'm the only one up front who will admit it anyway. That's all right. But the thing is,
this sign, the significance of this sign is that Jesus has power even over death. He's the Lord over creation, he's the Lord over every other power, and he's the Lord over death. He said, Talitha kumi, and up the girl awoke, or arose. Life came back into her body, to the astonishment of her parents, we read. And Jesus says to them, who no doubt they're surprised, says, get her some food. Now, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of fear and doubt and all of these things, Jesus comes in, and it's as easy for him to raise this girl from the dead as it is actually easier than it would be for my wife to wake me up from a nap. With ease, he just comes in and says, little one, arise, and breath comes back into her body. The everything in her body is restored. She's alive. Now, as we end, I'll just ask, why is this important? You'll note, a lot of you, that Jesus didn't raise a lot of other people during his ministry. He did raise some. There was Lazarus, right? There was a widow's son. But it wasn't something he generally did. There was a reason that he did this, and there was a reason he did it in front of his disciples. He wanted them to understand who he was. And they were still learning. He wanted them to understand that he has power over death, And they wanted, or he wanted them to understand that they, the kind of faith they should have is a faith that is not afraid. Death to Jesus is nothing more than sleep. Now, these days, Jesus also is not raising many people from the dead. You occasionally hear stories. Some of them could be true. Most of them probably are not. But the fact is, he is the same Lord today. And the reason he wanted the disciples and he wants us to understand his power over death is because he made a promise. He made a promise that on the last day, when he returned, he was going to speak. He was going to call out to his people, to his church, his bride, and like the prince waking his sleeping beauty or his Snow White, he was going to wake her from the sleep of death. And that is all of God's people, his church. So what does it mean for a person who trusts in Jesus to die? It means that we're asleep for a while, safe in the hands of Jesus, and it means that there's going to be a time coming very soon, possibly, where we're going to hear a voice waking us up, saying, little one, it's time. Arise. Okay? And that's something to be thankful for, something to hope in. He'll wake us from the slumber of death and we'll be with our King forever. So these are the three signs. And we'll just hold on to that maybe this week, thinking about the fact that Jesus is the one we can trust, is the one who has power over creation, over every other power, and even over death. And I'll ask you to go back to your seats. The McConaughey's are going to be coming up now to lead us in a time of prayer.